Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, our children are gone. Our children are gone. Our families are falling apart. Our falling apart. We as a nation have come to say,
oh Lord, forgive us. Forgive us. Heal our land. And we turn our faces back toward you.
To you. This is If My People with Pastor Leona Ross. It's so good to be with you on our first Saturday. We had to move from Sunday over to the true Sabbath. This is the seventh day. So we are so happy to have you listening in, and we do hope that this message is going to be a blessing to your soul. Today we're going to talk about God of the impossible. Why don't we believe that God can do the impossible things in our life? Why do we pray amiss and we ask God and then we don't think that he can do it? Remember, God is not a man that he should lie. Well, before we get into that message and into these questions and observations, we're going to play some praise and worship music for you. We're going to have Jermaine Edwards make a way. So I'll be right back after the music to discuss God of the impossible. Enjoy the music. Remember, I don't own any rights to this music. It is just for your listening pleasure.
Turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, he's able. Tell somebody else, he's able. Y'all ready?
Exceedingly, abundantly, above all, all you could ask for came according to the power that worketh in you. Upon God, 'cause he won't give up on you. He's able.
How many believe it tonight?
Yeah. He's able. Thank you, Jesus.
Come on, y'all, I need y'all to help me sing. God is able to do.
Refreshing. your great blessing. Thank you, Darius Dennis. Come on. Nothing but victory. That's the promise of our King. To do exceedingly, abundantly, above what you ask or think.
Welcome back. That was Jonathan Nelson and Expect the Great. Before that, we had Darwin Hobbs, God is Able. And the beginning of the set, we had Mr. Jermaine Edwards, When He Will Make a Way. Each and every one of those songs appropriate for our topic, Nothing is Impossible for God. We should expect the great. We should expect any and everything that we pray and ask God for. Many times we go into prayer and it seems like an impossible and impenetrable situation, and we're wondering how God can, God will, God, instead of just believing, yes, God. We know his word says that nothing is impossible for him. So we need to have the mindset that touches and agrees with what the word of God says for our lives. Amen. We're going to a quick prayer, and then we're going to delve deeper into this topic. Father God, in the mighty name of Christ Jesus, Lord God, I ask that you touch and bless every man, woman, boy, and girl listening to this broadcast, Lord God. Touch them from the crown of their heads to the sole of their feet. Show yourself strong in their lives, Lord God, that they may see and know that you alone are God, and there is none like you, Father. Father, your word says that anything that we ask in your name, believe it so we shall receive it, Lord God. Put it in our hearts and our minds, Lord God, to trust you and to stand on your word, Father, in the mighty name of Christ Jesus. Father, I pray that this word is edifying to these thy people. Let it touch hearts, minds, spirit, soul, Lord God, that lives might be changed and they come into a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, these things we pray in the mighty name of Christ Jesus, giving you all the glory, honor, and praise that is due unto you. This again is Pastor Leona Ross. This is Blog Talk Radio, If My People. The title of the day's message is God of the Impossible. Our signature scripture will be John 14 and 13 that says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So if we believe that this is true, why is it so hard for us just to trust this truth? Why do we pray and then inwardly not expect to receive what we have prayed for? If God is such a loving Father and his word says that he will not withhold any good thing from us, why can't we believe these simple words? It is just the simplicity of the gospel. It's the simplicity of understanding that anything that God says, he will do. For God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should have to repent. That's what the word says. Psalms 84:11, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold for them that walk uprightly. So what is he saying? Is it on condition? Is it in a certain way that we walk? Is it in seeking his face and truly believing? And that's just it. Just truly believing that God can do it. Mark 9:23. Thou hast not. See? We don't believe whatsoever you ask for, believing so you can receive it. You have to believe in that which you are asking for. It's like, for example, just to make it a visual here. It's like going into the store and what we some of us call it window shopping or wish shopping. Rather than believing, we are wishing. We'll go to the store and say, oh, I wish I could have that. Oh, I wish I could get that. But God says anything that you ask for, you can have. As I said, Mark 9:23, it says, if you can believe. If you can believe. You can have it. If you can believe. He said. And this was Jesus speaking in Mark 9:23. He says, all things are possible to him that believeth. And all is a word that is inclusive. It has no boundaries. It has no limits. Whatever also is a word that has no boundaries, it has no limits, and just as our Heavenly Father, He has no limits. Anything that we ask for, believing so, we shall receive. That's what the Word of God says. So we have to get in our mindset that when we go into prayer, that whatever we are seeking God for, that whatever we are asking God for, indeed He is going to do. We don't have to worry about, oh, God, can God, have I done? And another thing is stop condemning yourself. Stop condemning yourself thinking that you're not good enough. You're not worthy enough for God to do that which He has promised that He would do. It's not contingent upon you. I know sometimes you hear people say that, oh, well, you didn't get this because of your faith. You didn't believe strong enough. You were not in a right place with God, but that's not what the Word of God says. He said you simply believe Him. Simply believe Him for it. Simply believe that He is going to do it. That which you are asking for, that which you are praying for. We can take a look here now at some impossible things that Jesus did. In Luke 17, verses 11 through 19, this is the story of Jesus when He was going on the way to Jerusalem, and He was crossing between Samaria and Galilee. And as He came in this place, as the scripture says in verse 12, He said He was going to a village, and 10 men who had leprosy met Him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When He saw them, He said, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked them. He was a Samaritan. God has no respect of person. If you remember the story in the Bible of the Samaritan woman at the well, what did she tell Jesus? She said, "Your people don't have anything to do with us. So why are you asking me for water? You a Jew. Y'all don't have anything to do with us because y'all see us as unclean." But when Jesus came on the scene, He was showing the people, all people, not just the Jews, that God has no respect of person, because it is God's word. It applies to anyone who can believe, anyone who calls on His name. It's not just for a select few, as I've heard some people teaching. It's not just for a select few. Verse 17 says, Jesus walked, we're in Luke chapter 17, verse 17. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then He said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." See? The 10th person. He came back. He saw his skin change. He saw his body being healed. And he went back to the place of healing. He went back to the place of healing to give God praise. See? You have to remember that when you pray for things and the enemy sends you doubt in your mind and thoughts that are not of God, because God said, "Ask me and I'll give it." You have to go back to your place of acknowledgement. You have to get back in the presence of God. Praise Him in advance. Praise Him for what you are praying for. Remember Hannah? She went to the temple, and even Eli had no idea what she stood in need of. Eli had no idea whatsoever what Hannah was praying for. He wasn't trying to even be in the spirit to find out. He just saw her as a nuisance and told her, "Whatever you prayed for, lady, just go on. Leave me alone." because he thought she was drunk initially. And he said, no, don't count your servant as a woman of Belial. I am of sorrow of heart. She was praying to be able to birth a child. Hannah came to the place where she knew God would be, and she cried out from her heart, asking God, Father, please remove this curse from me. Because if you remember, being barren for a Jewish woman, not able to bear a child, was a curse. They saw it as a curse from God. So when she left there rejoicing, because in her mind, in her spirit, she knew that God was going to answer her prayer. And she did bear a child. She promised God, give me a child and I'll give the child back to you for all the days of his life. I just want to have a child. And because you're giving me this, God, this is what I will give to you. See? She made a covenant with the Father. And she kept her covenant. And a lot of times we go and pray and we say things, God, if you get me out of this, I'll serve you for the rest of our life, not knowing the cost. Hannah counted up the cost. This was a child that she would only be able to have in her presence or have in her household until he was weaned. Because if you continue reading in Samuel, in 1 Samuel, you continue reading the story, it says that when he was weaned, she took him to the temple. And each year, during the festival time, each year she would bring him a new coat. Because the child was grown. She didn't stop providing for him. She still brought him clothes to the temple. But she left him there in the presence of God because that was her promise to God. See? In her heart. See, it's your heart matter. When you go to God and when you pray and when you're seeking him for things that you desire, things that you want, life-changing expectations, are you expecting to see that thing that you're praying for come about? In other words, are you believing? You don't have to have faith to believe. You can just know something. Yeah, I believe that. How many people you hear say, yeah, I believe that? They don't have any evidence. Remember Hebrews 11 and 1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's the evidence of things that we don't see, but we are hoping for them. Again, back to that window shopping. We are wishing. See? And then, you know, we set ourselves on a path where we can acquire the finances or acquire the necessary means to obtain that thing. It's the same correlation with prayer. We're praying in a way and we're trusting God to deliver for us that which we cannot do for ourselves. That's why the title of this message is God of the Impossible. Because we have to believe beyond what we can do for ourselves. That God has to intervene, and he is the only one that can do it. He's the only one that can get us out of this mess. See? We have to understand that. God of the impossible. We've all had situations, and we say, oh, I know that was God. See, we say, oh my goodness, I know that was God. I know that wasn't nobody but God, because it was an impossible situation for us. We couldn't do it of our own accord or in our own will or even in our own resources. So we know it was God. And we've been in situations where we don't even acknowledge God. But when an impossible situation is resolved in our lives, we say, oh, I know that was God. And what does it do? It gives us the inclination to find out more about God and what he can and will do for his people, what he can and will do for us. Because again, as I said, his promises are yes and amen to the glory of God in us. It's for his glory, the scripture that we just read. See, it says that it is for his glory, not for us, because we easily walk away. We easily get dissuaded when things don't go right in our lives. And we feel bad and we blame people. Some of us blame God. Yes? See? We blame God because, oh God, you didn't come through for me. You didn't do this. Well, was it according to his will? We never ask that question. Not contingent upon what we do, but was it according to his will? Remember, we call it the Our Father's Prayer in Matthew. It says, let thy will be done in earth, in these earthen vessels, according to your will. Because every good thing is not a God thing. People want to decree and declare themselves to be God. Okay, well, great. But then if you are God, what have you created? What have you taken? I mean, created from scratch. What have you just spoken to existence? We mislead people with false doctrine. We mislead people to think that we can do all things in and of ourselves. No, that is not what the word says. As I said, Mark 9:23, it says all things are possible if thou can believe. What are you believing in? You're believing in the word of God to establish that thing in your life, to manifest that thing in the earth in your life. Because, as I said, you are not able to do it in and of yourself. The first successful key of believing and obtaining the promises of God and God doing the impossible in your life is knowing that you can't do it. Being vulnerable unto the Lord. Acknowledging the problem. Acknowledging the issue. Acknowledging that you have a deficiency. That you are unable to do it. And only God can. That's the first principle. See? Hannah knew in and of herself, even Elkanah telling her, ain't I better to you than 10 sons? It didn't matter. She wanted the curse lifted. She wanted a child. See? So even Elkanah telling her that, you know, am I better than you, the 10 sons? No. She went to the temple. She went to the place where she could find God. Some of us, it's just a quiet place in our home, getting away from anything and everybody. It may be in your car. It may be in your shower. Wherever it is where you find that peace and that presence of God, and you just pour out unto him. Just get into that place and letting God see your heart in all of your vulnerability. He already knows. He created you. What are you going to hide from him? He said, before you even prayed, I know what you stand in need of. I just need you to ask me. People will see you have a need, but they're not going to automatically do it. They're not going to automatically fulfill that need unless, of course, God places it on their heart. But they're waiting for you to ask. And that's why the scripture says anything that you ask in John 14:13. He says, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Again, it's not for our glory. It's not for us to brag and boast and say, oh, well, look what I did. Look what I got. No, it's that God may be glorified in the earth, that other people may see, oh, wow, you know, this is what God did for me. You become a living testimony because of the glory of God. As it says in 2 Corinthians 1:20, it says, for all the promises of God and yea, and amen in him, unto the glory of God by us. See? We confess. We give God glory. See? Because of the wonderful works that he has done. The woman at the well, she went back and she evangelized the whole town, talking about the wonderful and marvelous things that Jesus had told her. The woman with the issue of blood for 12 entire years, this lady had a menstrual cycle that would not stop. The flow would not stop. And during that time, they were under the Levitical law. They were under the law of Moses that said that if a woman was in her menstrual cycle, that she had to be set outside the camp until it was over because she was unclean. But here is this woman in the crowd of these people trying to get to the place of deliverance. She had heard about Jesus. She knew about Jesus, so she put it in her heart and mind, if I can just get to the man, I know that I'll be healed. She already believed it. There was nothing anybody needed to tell her anymore than Jesus is a healer. I've seen him do this, and I've seen him do that. She was in an impossible situation, but she took the risk, risking her life. Because remember, under the law, you're not supposed to be around people. You're supposed to be outside the camp. You can't be around folks. But she went in the midst of this crowd just to get to Jesus. And the only thing she needed, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I can't get to him all the way front, face, front, and center. But I could, if I could just get a little bit, just a little bit of him, I know I'm going to be all right. See? And she touched the hem of his garment. And Jesus said, who touched me? And his disciples responded, wait a minute, Master, all these people around you, you see all these people around you and you asking us who touched you? Come on now. But he said, no, that was a special touch because it brought the healing virtue out of me. See, that's what they mean when they say you got to pull on God for that which you need. It's the same thing. You, Hannah, went to that temple. She was pouring out her heart. And it touched the heartstrings of God that God gave her what she wanted. The woman with the issue of blood just went, you know, I'm sick of this. I can't live like this no more. And it touched the heartstrings of God, and healing was done for her. The 10 lepers that we just read about, standing on the side of the road, heard Jesus calling, coming back. He said, Jesus, you can heal us. You can heal us. And he said, go show yourself to the priest and be made clean. And while they was on their way going to the priest, they became clean. But they had heard. Sometimes the only thing that you need to do is just hear. And you bear the evidence. You walk toward the miracle. You walk toward that promise. Because you understand that in that place is healing. In that place is what you need. In that place is where you can receive an answered prayer. See? So you understand. You understand. I just need to get to that place. First, you believe it. Then you get to the place where you can receive it. See? You trust God to do the impossible. So there's no need to question. There's no need to doubt. You have the evidence going before you. How many friends, family, friends, cousins, whomever, are people that you know, you've seen in an impossible situation, you've seen in different circumstances in their life, and they say, oh, well, I'm just going to trust God because there is nothing that I can do. There's nothing that I can do about it. They are literally at the end of the rope. And then you turn around and you see God blesses. God opens the door, turns the entire situation around. What about you yourself? See? Have you been there? Do you find yourself now? There now. Another promise of God at Matthew 6 and 26, he said that I will provide all of your needs. Because when he was teaching his disciples to pray, he taught them to ask for their daily bread. He told them that, listen, if God will provide so well for the flowers and the birds, how much more so do you think he would do for you? These are little minute things. So nothing. Jesus was illustrating, God will withhold no good thing for you from you. See? Psalms 50 and 15. The Lord says, call upon me in the day of the trouble, and I will deliver you. And you shall glorify me. See? Because when God does something that we see as so impossible, we are going to praise him. Just like the 10th leper that came back. When he saw his skin was clean, he went back to the place of blessing and he told God, oh, wow, I just came to give you the praise. Thank you, Jesus. Because when we're in trouble, we just want to get out. We don't care how. We just don't want to be there no more. Whether we're sick, whether we are in physical trouble, emotional trouble, mental trouble, whatever. Whether we're just in a bad place in our life and we don't see any way out. We just want you to fix it. God, you just got to do something about this. See, because I've done everything that I know how to do. This is an impossible and impenetrable situation for me. And Father, I just need you to do something. I just need you to move right now. This, I can't do. I can't live like this anymore. We get to the point where we're so frustrated and we're so outdone that we have to call on God. And in those moments, in those times, we are believing because we are speaking it. We are saying that, and we are trusting that God is going to do it, because guess what? We think there is no other option and there is no other way. So God, you got to move. But then the question becomes, what if God doesn't move in the time that we think that he should move? What if it doesn't happen when we think that it should happen? Therein lies doubt. Therein, the enemy begins to play with our minds. We get caught up in our emotions. And we're thinking that God is not going to do it. God didn't hear us when we prayed. Or worst of all, God doesn't care about us. But what does his word say? He says that he will never leave nor forsake us. That's what he said. He says he will never leave nor forsake us. So then if he's never going to leave us and he's never going to forsake us, as it says in Deuteronomy 31 and 6, he tells us, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave or forsake you. You're not alone in this situation. Remember what he told Daniel? When Daniel was praying about the dream, he didn't understand it. and he wanted a clearer understanding. He prayed for 21 days, and he told Daniel, he said, Daniel, listen, I heard you the first day that you prayed, but the prince of Persia held up your answer. In other words, Daniel, the enemy got busy, and you did not recognize me moving in the midst of all that you were going through. Remember, God's timing is not our time. See, the answer came. The answer came. But just some things got busy in your life, and you were not able to recognize me moving. See? So that's what happens. Go ahead. So that's what happens sometimes. She's here now.
Oh, I'm outside.
Okay. See? So that's what happened. Y'all, excuse me for one moment. I got to take a quick break. I'm going to play this song shortly, and I will be right back with you. Apologize for the interruption. I got grandkids here with me today, so they kind of in and out. But again, you were in that impossible situation. Enemy got busy, and now you think that God has left you. But his word says he will never leave nor forsake you. If you believe that he would do it in the beginning, when you first prayed, you got to hang on to that. You've got to hang on to that which God has said, that which he has spoken over your life. Because sometimes, let's be honest, let's be realistic. That's all that we have. Friends and family fail us. Spouses and loved ones fail us. God says, God's word says that he will never fail. His hope, his will endureth until the end, regardless of what it looks like, regardless of what it feels like. We understand, and we must know that truly God's word is infallible. He is going to do it. He is going to move for us. Regardless of what the impossible situation seems like, if we look back over our lives, and I mean any part of our lives where we were ever in a situation where, oh my God, how am I going to get out of this? How am I going to do this? And it came, and it worked out. It worked out in our favor. That was the Lord with his hand upon your life, even in the midst of all your chaos, in the midst of your sinful nature, in the midst of your disobedience, in the midst of you not knowing how God, can God, will God, why God, in the midst of all of that. Just knowing that if it's a God up there somewhere, he can work it out. Even in all of that, you've got to know. Saved, unsaved, God can and will move in your life in the things that you think are impossible. When you come and lay it at his feet, stop being hesitant. Stop listening to what everybody else say. Everybody else's experience is not your experience. You build your own personal relationship with him. Remember? You want to be free? He said he will set you free. He tells you in John 8 and 36. So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Don't allow anybody to lie to you and say you still in bondage, that you can't be free, that you can't be saved, that you can't be free from unforgiveness, from bitterness, from anger, from rage, from lust, from pride, from the sins of your flesh, from every temptation that so easily besets you. Look at the woman with the issue of blood, 12 years. All she needed was one touch from the hem of his garment. What about you? See? All you got to do is believe that you receive it. As it says in Mark 11 and 24, Jesus talking to the people. He said, therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Believe that you have received it. When you leave out of prayer, when you leave out of asking God to intervene on your behalf, believe that it is already done. Give him the praise. Give him the glory. Regardless of what the situation and circumstances look like, believe that God has already done it. No matter how long it takes, understand this. See? He said anything that we ask for in his name, anything. It has anything has no limits. It has no boundaries, whatever it is. He's going to do it for you. Furthermore, he tells you, he says, I will not hold any good thing from you. I'm not going to keep it from you, any good thing. I'm not talking about, you know, these lustful, sinful things you might want. Oh, I want that girl. She's so fine. I want that man. He's so fine. No. No. I can tell you now, that's the sins of your flesh. You're probably not going to get that. See? But any good thing. He says he's not going to withhold it from you according to his will. Not within our will. He's not going to work in the lust of our flesh, but he's going to work in the glory of his word, the promises on our life, that which he has purposed for us to make our lives better, to bring it in alignment with his will for our life. Remember Jeremiah 11, he says, I know the plans that I have for your life. See, I know what I have. I know. I realize that my plans for you might not be the same plans that you have for yourself, but the plans that I have for you indeed are going to bring you to a what? An expected end. It's going to give you a hope. It's going to give you a future. So I know the plans that I have for you. I want to prosper you and not harm you. I want to give you a great future and a great hope. Now, your mindset that you might be thinking might not be in align with this. That's why I'm a very present help in the time of trouble to set you back on that path of righteousness, which I have called you to walk on. So I'm going to allow a little bit of calamity to come into your life. Because in the midst of calamity, guess what? You're going to cry back out to me. You're going to come right back to the place of blessing. You're going to come right back to the place of restoration and deliverance. Because in those times when you feel hopeless, you are going to remember me. And you're going to say, oh, my God. I stopped going to, you know, some people say, oh, my God, I stopped going to church. I need to go back to church. How many of you have heard people say that? Or how many of you have even said that yourselves? I need to get back to church because, you know, when I was going to church, things was much better. Uh-huh. Or when I was studying my Bible, things were much better. You remember the place of blessing. All I'm saying is that you remember the presence of the Lord operating in your life. You remember what God has done in the past, and you understand, you believe, and you know that he's going to do it again. God is indeed going to bless me. If he did it once, he's the same God. He's able to do it again. There's no need to wonder. And I tell you, he has no respect of person. So if you ever felt abandoned or if you ever felt alone, you have to realize that, hey, you are not alone. His word says he will never leave. Never. Never. That means always. That means forever. That means right now, in the future, and any time henceforth. God is still going to be there. But are we in a place where we allow his presence to encamp us, where we allow his word to operate in our lives? Do we seek him diligently? That's what it says. We must seek him diligently. See? Diligently, that means it's heartfelt. See? It's heartfelt. And we just gotta get to it. Then not a day goes by. See? That we don't look or acknowledge God. See? Proverbs 13:4. The soul of the sluggard dieth and desireth and doesn't have anything. But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Proverbs 10:4, he maketh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent he maketh rich. Coming to God. Knowing that nothing is impossible for him, whatever it may be. He tells us to come to him and to pray to him in all kinds of prayers, not just to ask him for stuff, but to praise him. Come him with our problems. See? Not to think that we got to be perfect. Not to think that we got to be in a right standing with God to pray, because if that was the case, none of us who were sinners and who didn't know Jesus would never have gotten right with God, because we would always think, oh, well, I guess I better get right before I can pray to God. No, that is the prayer. That is the prayer. God save me. That's a prayer right there. God help me. That's a prayer right there. See? We think that we got to be all formal and bowed down and all of this stuff. No, he said, anything that you ask in my name, therefore will I give you. I want answers. I just need you to come to me. I just need you to talk to me. Think about it in talking about you have this friend where you confide in and you let them know, you know, the things that you're going through and all of that. God is the same way. Your Heavenly Father is the same way. He wants you to come to him just as you go to that friend with your trouble. But the difference between him and that friend is that he's able to change your life. He's able to come in and intervene in a way that will just blow your mind. Because he is a God of the impossible. Those impossible situations where we're crying, we're stressed out, we're mentally bound and in anguish and anxious and all of those things. And he said, hey, listen. I got it. I got it. And the other thing that we need to learn how to do is just be patient and wait on the Lord to answer. Don't get ahead of him. Don't think that he isn't going to do it. Because he says that he will. That was his word. And again, he is not a man that he should lie. He is not a man that he should lie. He is going to do it. See? Psalms 37:7-9, it said, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. In other words, don't be looking at what anybody else is doing or what anybody else is going or how God is blessing anybody else. Stay focused on what you ask God for and patiently wait for him to do it. Wait. You don't plant a seed in one day and the next day you got a tree full of fruit. It doesn't happen like that. Trust God to do what he said that he was going to do. Because if you asked him for it, he said that he would give it to you. Another scripture in Habakkuk 2:3. He said, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. In other words, what you're praying for, what you see out of your mind, out of your spirit, what you are hoping for, as I said, window shopping, wishing for, it has an appointed time to arrive to you. It has an appointed time that it's going to come to you. Because God has promised. He's not going to lie. He said, anything you ask in my name, believe it. Believe it. Believe it. Believe that you're going to acquire it. Believe that you're going to receive it. Believe that you can be healed. Believe that you can be delivered. Believe that you can be prosperous. Believe that you can be successful. Start kindergarten and then graduate from high school the next day. You had to go through the process. You had to get in a place where you were able to sustain the blessings that God was giving you. Because it makes no sense for God to bless you with something and you can't keep it. Because you don't have the wisdom or the knowledge to do so. See? We pray for health. We pray to lose weight. But even in all of that, And God will answer. He will do that. But what is your responsibility? You have to take care of the temple. You got to eat right. You got to exercise. See? Not put pollutants into your body. Smoking, drinking. Don't be in excess of those things. That's going to harm your temple. Because God is what? God is healing you. You prayed for him to heal you. Why go back and do those things that kill you? See, don't pray amiss. See? We can't pray and ask God for stuff and then blame God when it don't turn out how we think it ought to turn out. Because we took an adversarial action. If God asks you, and God prays, if God asks you and God prays and you pray and God answered, then what? What are you doing?
Yes, sir.
What are you doing with the blessing?
Go ahead.
Okay. Thanks. See? What are you doing with the blessing? What are you doing? You have to take care of that which God blesses you with. That's the other thing. He's done an impossible thing for you. He's healed you from cancer. Are you going to go back living the same way that you was living before? I'm not saying don't enjoy your life. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that. Don't let the devil trick you. But just be careful that you don't get caught up in those things that put you in this situation in the first place. See? Because indeed it is a blessing. Indeed it is a blessing. It is an honor when God delivers you from some things that you thought were impossible, that you thought that you were never going to be free from, and it is to the glory of God. And that's why you proclaim it as you go out. That's why you proclaim it when, you know, your friends come to you and say, oh man, I remember when. Yes, you remember when, but this is what God did. And then it's like, oh wow, yeah, God did that, because I remember you when, oh my God, see. And God gets the glory. And your next line to them, hey, just like he did it for me, he can do it for you. It's not a selfish thing. It's letting somebody know that, hey, God has no respect to person. Let me tell you what he did for me. Let me show you what he did for me. This is how he moved in my life. And I'm just so elated. See? Take care of the blessing. No God can do the impossible. He's done the impossible in your life already. How old are you? How many years have you been on this earth? Can you look back and see those who are not even here anymore, who didn't get the opportunity to live to the days that you have lived now? You can look back over your life and you can see the calamity that the enemy tried to cause to come upon you that would destroy you. But yet, God made a way of escape for you. You know you shouldn't have made it through. You know you shouldn't be here today. But yet and still, especially after this pandemic, how many thousands or hundreds of thousands of people succumb to the plans of the enemy that are not here anymore? But you can still breathe in and breathe out. You can still walk. You can still talk. You can still hug and love on your family, friends, and be there for them and enjoy your life to the ability that you are able to. I bet you desire to. Why? Because God blessed you to see another day. Brought you out of impossible situations. Kept you safe when everything around you was going crazy and falling apart. He kept your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. So we don't have to say how God, can God, will God. The only thing we need to say is, yes, God, we know. You made a way. You can. You did it for me before, and I know you can do it again. So while I'm in the midst of waiting, I'm just going to praise while I wait, because I know if you did it once, you can do it again. Because truly, nothing is impossible for you. That's the mindset. That's what we have to believe. Mark 9:23. If thou canst believe, all things are possible. All things are possible. We just believe it. And we have that attitude of gratitude, of knowing that God is going to intervene on our behalf and it's going to be all right. Amen. This has been Pastor Leona Ross with If My People on Blog Talk Radio. I hope this word has touched your heart, touched your mind, that you have some positive takeaways from this message that you can share and that you can relate through during the week. Again, we will see you on next Saturday at noon. Our new day is on Saturday. So we will see you on next Saturday on noon with If My People. Going to take you out of here with some Jermaine Edwards, Make a Way. Remember, I don't own the rights to this music. It's just for your enjoyment and listening pleasure. Have a blessed day. Blessings on you for a prosperous and peaceful week.